kickstart your Saturday with JB and Billy. Even though there's no chance Billy's going to be up this early.
You know what time I get up now?
What time?
11.
Oh!
This is the best of the rush hour.
For Coates High, Damien Barrett's in the studio.
Now, what's going on with Tex? Our man, someone said he gave you a bit of a clip. I think we might have it, Radzi.
Well, would you want the build-up first?
Yeah, build-up. Damo, what's happened here?
Well, I've been made aware that he said something, so I'm about to hear it for the first time myself, but it was apparently on the back of what we supposedly said on the Saturday show, Bill. You were part of that show on the weekend, on the Saturday Rub. So we've managed to piece together what we think he's talking about. This was us on Saturday.
Look, it's just the mystery around Bryce Gibbs now being dropped a third time is going to be monitored over the course of the weekend as well.
What is the mystery?
The mystery is that people who watch the game that he plays in, inclusive of last week where he had a quiet first half, but people who watched the game and analysed the game said he actually did well in the second half of that Crows win against Melbourne.
Well, Greenwood's been dropped also. Hugh Greenwood, who's one of their hard contested players. So he's not scared to drop him.
Things are not well. It does beg the question is... Is Pike just getting a little offside with the players over there? Has there been a tiny little split with War and a few of these guys?
So that was us on Saturday, Jim, and then the big Tex.
What's he said, Tex?
Now I'm about to hear this for the first time myself too. This is Tex's response.
You know what I don't understand? Why didn't Damien Barrett watch the game or people watch the game? Well, if you didn't watch the game, well, don't comment on it.
Which game?
Last week. People watch Gibbs play and people say, well, don't comment if you didn't watch the game.
You're saying what, he didn't play that well?
No. Damien Barrett was saying, well, people tell me this. People watch the game. Well, watch it yourself.
Well, hello.
Hello.
Let's get a little clip there from the Texan.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jim, there's three people remaining in this state who were in Tex Walker's corner.
Well, are in Tex Walker's corner.
There might only be two.
What? Now. Are you off him? Our man, the Texan.
How's he? I have gone into bat for that man.
Yes, you have.
To my own detriment for 5 years.
Yeah.
And he somehow plucks out something that I don't think he even understood what I was saying out of a conversation where one of the people in the conversation, Bill, was questioning the coach.
Brian.
Come on, Tex.
Brian, I tell you what, though, mate. You've been saying a lot lately and you've been everywhere. And I heard you say something over the weekend which pricked my ears.
Another key big man is dropped with Rory Lobb now being added to a list of players who are now unfortunately unavailable. It's a lower leg foot injury, which was sustained out of the Collingwood game at the MCG.
But you're putting this down to the surface, don't
you? Yeah, look.
How do you know it's the surface, don't
you? Because they've both talked about it, Hutchie. Historically, they've both talked about it, lips sealed when the microphones are now on.
Ross hasn't talked about it this year.
No, but it wasn't that long ago when he did, and so too did Adam Simpson about it. Lobb had issues with the foot before the Collingwood game, and Pierce, again, he has had a history of bad leg problems, but he was sore before he had his latest problem as well.
All to do with the stadium. I've been saying that, Damon.
Oh, you've been saying that.
I've been saying that. You've hitched onto my wagon.
Bill, I think we covered this story last year.
No, Damo.
We covered when Buddy Franklin went down in round one last year.
I've been going with it, and you go, well, that's a good story. I'll just hitch on.
I didn't know where you were going with that. But
Adam Simpson went with it, Bill.
No,
the coach of the West Coast Eagles in a press conference.
I haven't heard him.
No, he did. He actually gave it about 2.5 minutes and said, if I don't bring it up, no one will.
Well, I'm on to something.
Are you?
Yeah, Optus Stadium is too hard as a car park.
You thought there was a car park underneath there, which there isn't.
Jim, you can't spell Cockburn. So I wouldn't go with anything.
Can't pronounce it.
So there is a car park.
There's not a car park.
I'm going to do the show from Perth tomorrow, and I'm going to have a look.
You are what's commonly known as a balloon head.
But I see Damo's just going with the old Woolwood too.
Hey, Damo, why are people being thrown out of the footy? Is this an AFL-driven thing? People who are saying abusive things over the fence to umpires, etc.?
Yep.
Or is it a police department thing, or who's doing it?
It's an industry-driven thing, not necessarily all of it AFL headquarter-driven, but I don't think that's a bad thing. And while the latest example is use of the word flog to describe Matthew Nichols, the umpire on the game against the Carlton played in on the weekend, there's always more of a backstory to everything we do in this game, and I'm not going to get into the chewing and froing and the he said about it. But rest assured, there is more to it than what is simply the use of the word flog and
bald headed flog. So you're saying there's more to
the there's always another side of the story, Bill.
No,
you know what?
Right.
The problem with these stories is you get caught up and bogged down in the minutiae. And you've also got that situation of 3 weeks ago where the Richmond supporter membership group member was removed and then banned from the game for 3 weeks on the use of the words or phrase green maggot. Yep. Clearly, okay, people can look at it and say it's pretty tame, and I would say it probably is pretty tame. But if the whole ordeal allows us and maybe forces us to, as an industry and as a collective, think about what we actually say and maybe move toward being slightly better than what we are, is that a bad thing?
No, I don't think it is. And I think we've got to make it a very good environment for kids and women. And I think often it isn't. So I don't mind what they're doing. The only thing I'd ask you, Purple, is were they ever going to come out and tell us this? Or has it organically just started happening? Why wouldn't they say, from now on, if you cross the line at the footy, you will be thrown out?
Because I think in isolation, Jim, the two matters have unfolded without there being a directive. The AFL will say that Richmond acted on its own membership group. And then again, there's another side to that story too, where the AFL clearly had phone calls with Richmond. So work out what happened there. On the weekend, Matthew Nichols himself, Bill, in isolation, asked for security to take a look at the person who was directing the comments at him, and then they chose to act on it. So they're isolated incidents, but clearly there's a calling out, I think, component to this industry right now. People are calling things out. And again, that as a whole, and maybe 99 times out of 100, is a good thing. There does come a point.
What can you say?
Well, not flog and not maggot.
So, you know, they say flog.
But what other industry workplace or forum in the world are you allowed to say that, Bill, and have to have no ramification?
Haven't you been listening to the Rush Hour?
Actually, the whole Triple M family.
Yeah, exactly. Now, Jim,
get going, please. Yes, please.
I was thinking of you today because you were telling us about your flight over to Adelaide where you went up to the front, of course.
That's it.
That took me back to when I boarded a plane once, Jim.
Oh, no.
This is true. I boarded a plane and I was... We're waiting to embark, so...
To embark, or you were on the plane?
No, we're on the runway, waiting to embark.
To depart, then, you mean?
Waiting to embark, I think it would be the terminology you'll find, my friend. When an incident took place, Jim, there was this woman who got up from her seat, and, of course, the seatbelt signs were on, so you're not allowed to do that. We all know that. This lady got up, and she went to go to the bathroom, thought she was at the bathroom door, Jim. Guess what? She opened the emergency exit. Opened the emergency exit.
While you are on the plane waiting to embark.
Exactly, embark. And the slide automatically came down.
Oh, no.
And guess what? We had to go down the slide with our luggage.
What?
Unbelievable.
Where did this happen?
Manchester. Oh. I was over there, Jim.
You were waiting to embark.
On the runway.
Plane.
Yep.
Bill, you know embark means get on board or go on board.
The plane was sitting on the runway waiting to embark.
So you had already embarked. You were on board. You were waiting to taxi out and fly off. Is that what you were doing?
Oh, geez, I wish he was here. I'd punch him in the gut.
Bill, embark is getting on board.
I don't know if you're right there. But anyway, the lady thought she was going to the bathroom and opened the emergency door, which was just unbelievable.
Bill, so where were you flying? I want to know where you were flying from Manchester when this happened.
It doesn't matter. Like, I was in Manchester flying to Islamabad. It was a Pakistani Airlines, Jim. I can remember it because I was there with the kids and the missus. And we got quite worried.
Is this just another story that happened to someone else that you're now claiming happened to you?
133353 hits.
Oh, no.
What's delayed your travel, Jim? What has delayed your travel? Because this lady got up, honestly thought she was going to the bathroom, and opened, I don't know how you opened the emergency door, by the way.
But she did.
Guess how long we were delayed?
How long were
7 hours we're on the, embarked on the tarmac.
What's delayed your travel? Unusual, Steve. Bill gets us underway.
In Narre Warren.
Yeah, g'day, gang. About 3 or 4 years ago, we were leaving Fiji to come back to sunny Melbourne.
Yeah.
And we had already embarked on the plane. And we were sitting in our seat waiting for the seatbelt sign. And that's what all gone on. We started pushing back.
Yes.
And the flight attendant up the front went white as a ghost. Her eyes rolled back and she's face planted straight down the aisle.
She's
collapsed and she's fainted. And so we sort of unbuckled the belt and helped her up. And she was out, just got cold. And because of her not being able to fly then, there was one person less. So the plane had to go back up to the gate.
How long delayed?
We were delayed a full day.
One day?
Put us up in the hotel. Jeez. And gave us food and booze, and then we re-embarked the next day.
And then you fainted. Right. No, that was a joke. Thank you, Steve. Joe's there in Reservoir. Hello, Joey. Welcome to the show.
How are we, fellas?
Going well, mate. When did you flight get delayed?
Me and my wife were planning a trip to Tasmania.
Yeah.
And yes. Like over the Christmas holidays, and she got pregnant, and so we delayed it for a little while, and then we finally got there. My daughter is now 23 years old. We got there last year.
Oh,
yes.
But, mate, it would have been just pregnant, I assume, so you still can fly then, you know. Joey?
But we didn't want to have a two-headed baby.
Oh, I see. They've been working a bit of humour in there.
Exactly, Jim, yes. Last year.
Rabs?
Yo.
I'm just reading a bit more into this amazing story about the flight from Manchester to Islamabad.
The start of the week.
Yes.
Yeah, it happened on Monday.
Yeah.
That is coincidental. Because that's what happened to me.
Claiming he was on a plane leaving Manchester on Monday for Islamabad.
I loved it. I haven't been to Islamabad, but it's beautiful.
Triple M.
Slapped it behind him. Coming out was Neil Lostert. Picked up by Gibbons. He has a flying shot from 40. Oh, the Blues have got another one.
Bill, one of the great stories. Out of the VFL, come to the Blues, and now absolutely going magnificently. Michael Gibbons, welcome to you.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me in.
More than out of the VFL, Jim. He's a New South Wales boy. Yeah. Grew up in Coolerman, which is
What's that near?
Well, that's near Ganmain Grong Grong Madong.
How many goes did you just have at that, Billy?
I got it in the end. But it's up near Ungerry, up
is
there.
Is that one whole joint?
Three joints. Yeah, three joints into one footy team, though.
Right.
Footy team, that's what it is.
So Jim. Ganmain.
Grong Grong.
No, but let me stay with Ganmain for a second. Yeah. How many people would be in the town of Ganmain?
Oh, a couple hundred, would 300, there? Yeah, right, that's okay. It. Yeah. Madong the same, and Grong Grong, 12.
12.
So they all come together. But then moved to Albury because, the old man bought a business?
Yeah, moved down there for a couple of years in my tack up years. Lucky enough to play a couple of years at Bushies, and then moved down to Melbourne after that.
What's the old man doing, Albury?
Equipment finance. So you got anything you need, give him a call.
What's the name of the business? Yeah. Get it too.
Yield Finance down in Albury. There's a plug for you.
Well, we go all around.
Well, you know, the Spargos, of course.
They run the joint, mate.
Yeah. Who'd you play with there? Lavington, was it?
Yeah, Lavington Panthers, for a couple of years. I only played, I think, three games or something because I was at
Bushies.
Yeah, Bushies.
Oh, good. And then you finally come up to what? Williamstown, was it?
Yeah, moved down to Willy and spent 5 years there, I think. So. That was good fun there. Won a flag and everything. And
Jim, have a look what he done here. Won the Norm Goss medal best on ground in the 2015 grand final. Tick. Then also won the JJ Liston in 2016. That's for the best player.
Yep.
And also won the Frank Johnson medal.
That's it.
For the best player in the state game. Yep. Then the next year, runner-up in the JJ Liston.
Meh.
And then tied for the 2018 JJ Liston.
With Anthony Miles.
So you're overlooked in six drafts. Because why? Don't tell me. Too small?
Well, that's the theory behind it.
Well, that's a fair guess, I would have thought. No, but you're obviously playing good footy and just overlooked. So it would have been very disappointing every time.
Yeah, it was. The first couple of years, I probably ended up resenting footy a bit just because, like, you know, you're one of the best players in the 18s and everything, and then you miss out for whatever reason it is. And then I guess once I sort of started working down here, getting on the piss with the boys, I guess, a little bit more than usual. I guess I realised there was more to life than footy.
Yeah,
and I think
good.
From then on, that's when I really started to flourish and play some good footy for Willie and enjoy it. And yeah, for those couple of years in between, it wasn't as big a deal for me. But yeah, then I really focused down last year and thought I'd give it another red hot crack. So
it's interesting.
But Gibbo, you say the two small thing, not you, but the clubs. You look at Boomer, Caleb Daniel. I mean, the comp's got tiny little bastards.
Tom Patley,
who have played unbelievably good for us.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah.
So that's not a reason.
No, it's not, but it's good that those lads are in the system. I guess that helped me in the end. So I played against Caleb in round 5 or 6 or whatever it was, and I actually said that to him, and, you know, good to get one for the little fellas, I suppose.
So tell me, was it Steve Silvani who rang you and said we might be having a look at you here?
It was a bit odd, that one, because the way it came about for me was through the supplementary list. So I missed out on the draft again this year, and then went back to work and I guess getting on the piss again a little bit too much, and because I sort of thought it was done. Yeah, yeah.
But you had a job also.
Yeah, so I was working as a carpet layer, so I was doing that for the last 5 years. So shout out to Muzz if you're listening, mate. He's already at home, no doubt.
Yeah, it'd be raining, mate. We're cheap.
Anyway, so yeah, then I got the call one day. It was a couple of days before Christmas break up, and then they just said that Sam Doherty had gone down injured, done his knee, and they wanted me to come in the next day and train. Now, I thought it was one of my mates ringing me and just trying to put it over me. So I didn't actually answer. I didn't ring the bloke back, Mick Agrestar. I didn't ring him back, and then he rang me again, and then my manager rang me and said, mate, you better pick up the phone here. It's actually something going on. So it was a bit of a whirlwind. I was in the club that day. And then the next day training, and then I was, I guess training with him until I was on the list, which was... Yeah, it was pretty crazy, actually.
Mm-hmm. Gave the job up, I suppose. You would have to, or you're still doing a little bit?
Yeah, Wednesdays I still go in. Oh, cool. Not really. Nah, I'm not going back.
So you walk into your first AFL club, Gibbo. You get a look early on because Sam Doherty gets injured. You're playing. It's brilliant.
And then they give the coach the lemonade and sauce, and you got all of that upheaval. How have you coped with that?
Yeah, that was it was a big week, that. It was, I guess I got the whole experience early on in my career. I've always come from quite successful teams, just playing through with Williamstown and even juniors and that. So I guess it was a bit unknown for myself. And I'm not going to lie, I was pretty rattled by it. Like Bolts obviously was one of the ones that gave me my chance. I'd been overlooked many times before, and he backed me, played me and everything. So, yeah, I'm forever in debt to Bolts, and I messaged him straight away. And, I guess the surprising thing for me was that you come in on the Tuesday and it was just business as usual. I guess we had a game to play, and as cruel as it is, that's the way we looked at it, I suppose.
And Teague, of course, did he do anything different? Was training different? I saw there in one of the news clips that you're all having a bit of fun and joking around. Was there a bit of that?
Yeah, no, Teague's good. He's a bit different. He's a bit of a different cat, but he's a legend, knows his stuff, and he just promotes fun when we're training, train properly. But then in between drills, have a laugh, carry on a bit. But then once the whistle blows, then back into it again.
Greta. See the beautiful Greta. Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about what goes on there, please, Gibbo.
No, she's good. She's a good girl. She cooks for me all the time and everything. So
Wagga girl, go all the way back to Wagga.
Yeah, old high school sweethearts, I suppose. So. She's a good girl and looks after me.
And I see you get up to Yarrawonga, the Black Bull Golf Course. Magnificent there, of course.
Bill's never been there. I've been there. Blasted all over the bloody...
I'm an ambassador. Of course I've been there.
Billboards. Yeah. How many games of golf have you played there?
Well, three. Oh. I'm not a big golfer.
How long you stuck around there?
I stick around. I stay the night. We've got the nice complex going up there.
Some places on the water.
Real estate there available there, or just a house and land packages. Plenty going on there. Up at the Black Bull, Jim. Don't worry about that.
House and land packages.
There it is. You can have both.
Gibbo, well done, mate. You're going beautifully. We love watching people that have had your background get to the top level and just play as well as you are. Good stuff.
Thanks, boys. Thanks for having me.
See you, mate.
Now, we're speaking about the idiot song, which is coming up in the second hour, and it's got a very nice number attached to it, too.
Good.
A very Australian, iconic number attached to it.
Good.
So, fans of the Idiot File, Idiot Song, and there are literally millions, make sure you're listening around 3:35 and 5 makes 40 in my book.
In your book.
Because that's when that's coming up. But what we're doing now is just giving you a little tease as to what Maddie's been able to put together, and this is a familiar song, too, for you to enjoy.
And yesterday, the chicken mathematician.
No. Oh, what the hell was that?
Mathematician.
What was that word you've just attempted? We are
Geelong. I'll tell you what you're doing, Jimmy.
Jimmy. We are Geelong.
We're always on the board. Do you know Sa Plum Bon Glo? We play the game as it should be played. And there is a new phenomenon.
Oh, what?
Nin.
A what?
A new phenomenon.
Hey, one more go.
Phenomenon. Oh! Good song. Great song. How good was that? Did you listen to the song?
Jiminen. Is that what you call me on stage?
That's what your name is.
Jiminen.
Jiminen.
I didn't listen to the song. I got no interest in
two
the song.
Two games clear.
I just like the stuff in between, the lyric.
I didn't hear any of that.
Didn't you hear any of that?
Absolute rubbish.
No. This one's actually an idiot song,
yeah.
And it's to one of the greatest songs ever recorded by one of the greatest Australian rock bands ever.
Ever.
The Angels.
Oh.
Bill, just sit back.
No
with
way.
The millions of Rush Hour family members and enjoy.
No way.
They train in a whole different place.
No, it isn't. It's Coburn.
How do you spell it?
I lived in the joint for 20 years. It's called Coburn.
How do you spell it?
No.
C-O-C-K.
I don't care.
That's cock to me. No. Magenta. Talkies. Hi, James. Am I ever gonna see your face again? No way. Get stuffed. Piss off. Am I ever gonna see your face again? The off-white, the white, the beige, the green.
He's put a green in there.
Mate, you'll be erotic. Wait at the bar. Maybe you might show.
Hello to you, Wallace.
Hey, G'day, Jim. How are you? Ever gonna see your face again. Back out there, Callis. He's 44. Seen him like Beach Boys. See your face again. Massachusetts.
Sorry, where, Bill?
Orleans. No way. Get stuffed. Piss off.
Oh,
Maddie.
Maddie, not bad, Maddie.
Quality, Maddie.
That's not bad,
Quality, I love that.
Bernie Vince is in the studio.
Righto, Bernard. You've been out of the game for only a year. Well, 12 weeks, really. We're only up to around 12 or 13, whatever
yes.
it is.
Yes, Bill.
I want to know a couple of things. Who would you rather coach, Carlton or North Melbourne?
Carlton.
Carlton?
Yep.
Ooh. Righto.
Sorry, Jim.
Jeremy Howe. No, it's all right. Don't be sorry.
Jim's trying to cut me off here.
Jeremy Howe, was that a mark or a free kick last week?
Ah, it's a mark.
Right, good.
I see why they paid it, but that's only front on stuff, surely.
Mm.
With the studs up.
Right,
that's ridiculous. You can't take the high marking out of it, the game.
Do you know how far you can go with umpire abuse? On the ground and off the ground?
Well, the goalposts have changed a little bit.
No, they're still the same.
Pardon.
Oh, no.
He went there, did he? He went there, did he? He's gone there. He's gone there.
Yeah.
I'd feel like I'd have to be a little bit more careful now, yes.
Because you were good on the lip.
Oh, not to the umpires. Very respectful to the umpires,
right,
Bill.
Were you,
Bert? Oh, not really, no.
So would you?
Well, you can't swear at them because they sort of tried to stamp that out a little bit over the last few years. Any swearing, they pay a 50, which in the end your coach whacks you for, so you can't do that too often. In terms of the crowd behaviour stuff, the crowd saying stuff, I think they're, as long as it's not racial and, you know, obviously the obvious things that you can't say, I think they pay their tickets to be able to come and barrack and cheer. So let them say what they want a little bit. And part of that, I know, is having a go at the umpires a little bit, but that's part of the game.
How big is gambling in AFL clubs?
Well, it's pretty big, to be honest, mate.
Yeah.
And the thing is, it's a silent killer. So you can have, there's heaps of apps you can get gambling apps, and you can be sitting, you can be anywhere. Basically, well, I think anywhere in Australia, I know that for sure. Maybe not overseas, but you can be anywhere and press a button real quick and you're done. You've got your bet on. Yeah, so you used to have to go down the TAB. It used to be a bit of a,
too hard,
you know. But now it's like bang, bang, bang. You get all these different advertisements. If you sign up to a betting app, you get a text message about what their things are.
Is it all the players or do you see it in young kids coming through or the older blokes?
Oh, I see it across the board.
Yep.
I'm not talking just footballers. I'm talking about society because it's so easy to do. And as I mentioned, it used to be a lot harder. You used to have to go down, read the form, put your bets on for the day, and that was it. You couldn't keep chasing. You can bet 24 hours a day as well because there's stuff overseas, sports. It's a bit of a dangerous thing to be happening, and it's not just footballers. I'm saying it's everyone, but they got a lot of access to money.
Clubs look at it.
They do.
What they can.
They certainly do, mate. They have to.
Yeah.
It's due diligence. Can you say that?
No. Hey, I see with interest Ling Jong has announced on Twitter that he's going to take a break due to mental healthness issues. Also, Matthew Broadbent yesterday. Mm. What do clubs do with mental health? What at the club level? What can they do?
It's a little bit confidential with each player, but each club's got a really good sports psych now, and they're trained through the AFLPA. So a lot of support in that area now, and I think that's the number one thing that players voted for that needed the most time put in by the AFL and the AFLPA. So there's a lot of work going into it, and no one slips through now. So it's identified pretty early, and they get the right treatment
early. And a big part of that is coming out. Like, you wouldn't, I think this probably happened for a long time, but people would insular and went in and just hit it. And that's the worst you can do, apparently. So,
but that's wasn't around in our day, but maybe it was. And blokes just played with it and put up with it. I don't know.
I'm just looking at the ladder.
Oh.
North a game out of the eight.
He's still back on that
Carlton have won their second game in the last 40.
So why do you go with
How
Carlton?
How the hell are you back in Carlton?
Oh, I just love their young talent. Mm. I love their that's basically it.
When you have five overall number one draft picks, you'd end up with some talent, I would have thought.
If you haven't,
you're
still
only winning two games, Bernard.
Yeah, well, they probably should have won a few more, but that's why when I coach them, I'll get them over the
what
line.
What type of coach will you be?
Oh, we'll have a lot of fun, Bill. Probably won't make the eight, but we'll pretty sure we'll be good.
That was the best of the Rush Hour. And catch up with JB and Billy anytime by downloading the Triple M app.